This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having an excellent day as we have a mock draft here for you. Then I have a question about Dak Prescott, and I want to know something as we take a look at how do you slow down the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get into that conversation here in about 5-6 minutes on 105.3 The Fan. General at your service, if you see me, bear me, N.A. Jeff Cavan over there at Studio Day Heffrey in Lake Highlands, Texas. Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander at 75 and Fitzhugh. And you can check us out at 105thefan.com/fancam. I'm about to have to give up on mine.
Yeah, I was about to say, where are you at there, General?
I don't know what's going on exactly here, but I'm having a hard time staying connected and getting connected, so might have to pull the plug on that one for a while. I think I'm having some internet connectivity issues. We go to the mock draft of thedraftnetwork.com. Did a 3-rounder. And, Brian, I think you're going to love this thing. They do Chase on at 17. You have Becton and Fulton and McKinney and Mims and Jefferson and Murray on the board, by the way, among others.
Whoa.
Henderson went to Atlanta. Kinlaw went to Jacksonville at 9.
Mm.
Derrick Brown made it to 15, actually, with Denver.
Oh. What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have moved up.
Jeff,
to 15.
We're moving that. Captain trade down, and we moving
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Captain trade down's trading up there. I'm not waiting 2 picks for Chase on with Derrick Brown on the board.
We're gonna move that. We're gonna try and move that 4 if we can.
Well, I move what that. We have to move. We're all moving right. Up 2 spots in this draft. We all drafted right. Derrick Brown. Who else did we get?
Yeah,
I was watching Derrick Brown highlights, and holy cow, that guy he appears to be like it's unfair to play against him. You yeah. shouldn't be that mobile at that weight.
And it's not supposed to be like that in the SEC, you know? It's like that when you watch a great high school player and the other kids around them, they're not going to college to play sports. Like, and all right, Derrick Henry's running through kids in high school. Look at him go. That's Derrick Brown to SEC offensive lineman. It's just like, yeah, right, you're yeah. not in my way.
I was watching Damian Lewis, the guard from LSU last night, and it was against Auburn. And I was thinking, yeah. okay, if he can maybe sometimes block this guy, I might like him. Mm-hmm. Not good. Not so, too hard. Yeah.
So at 51, you get Delpit. So 2 LSU Tigers there for you, Brian. You appreciate
oh, wow.
that.
Go Tigers. Delpit at 51. Tigers. How about that, though, guys? When I started with you guys, it was Delpit at 17, Delpit at mm-hmm. 17, and it's Delpit then at 17, Delpit at 27, Delpit now at 51. How about that? That's amazing that is Jeff, is that the media scouts are now catching up with the real scouts on that one?
I guess. If I had to bet on a landing spot for Delpit, I'll say if you let me take from like 25 to 40.
Okay.
I'll put Delpit there. 51, I don't think so. And I still like him. I get people's concerns about the tackling. But I think that sort of free safety with those instincts to understand what's happening and to find the ball, I think Grant Delpit's going to be a good free safety in the NFL.
Yeah, General was talking about it, though, with all those safeties on the board last year. Should we learn that lesson from then? That, you know, we had all those guys we thought were going to get picked highly, and then they all ended up around 50, you know, when they drafted
Tristan
Hills.
Yeah, but
we
had safeties go. Darnell Savage went in the first. Abrams went in the first.
Yeah, Abram, yeah.
They had a couple of safeties go in the first.
But all the safeties we liked were all sitting there right for us.
Yeah, yeah. If he makes it to 51,
I'll
owe you another pizza party. I'll have 2 pie. Pizza parties once the COVID is gone.
Yeah.
It will not be a pie party. We're not doing blueberry, no cherry. We're having pizza.
Key lime
we're having
pie.
Pizza.
Jeff, you'd like key lime pie. Key lime's good.
Wow. Why,
but now, why is that on a pizza? Because you said a pie is a pizza. So the key lime pizza?
No, it's just key lime pie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just
so
a pie
is a pie.
Pie is a pie.
Okay.
When it comes to sweets.
I'm still not quite sure how fruits get into the real sweet and dessert business, but that's a conversation for another day.
Cokes and soda, right? Another conversation? Coke and soda.
Or a pop. Or they call it pop.
Pop is another one, yeah.
I think the Coke thing is a made-up thing. I don't think people actually believe that.
Coke.
You say, in the South, I say, let me get a Coke. And then you say, what kind? And I say, Dr. Pepper. No, you don't. You order a Dr. Pepper. You don't say Coke and then clarify that you wanted a Dr. Pepper. That's a weird fake Southern thing.
It's a real thing. You could say, if someone says you want a Coke, you hand them anything and they accept it.
What's the year that stopped, though, Brian? Come on. Jeff's got a good point here.
Jeff doesn't have a good point. General, don't even go there.
It ended right after the Depression.
No, what are you talking about?
Definitely ended after.
You ask me for a Coke, I'm going to hand you whatever I have in the fridge.
No, you're going to say I've got, and you're going to tell me what soda you have.
I'm just going to hand you a Dr. Pepper, a Pepsi. I'm going to hand you whatever I have in the fridge, Jeff.
7-Up.
7-Up, ginger ale, whatever you want. Yeah.
There you go. There's a Coke, buddy.
What a weird thing we'd have going on at restaurants. You say, let me get a Coke. And they go, yeah, sure, no problem. They just bring you whatever soda they want.
Well, they don't do it at restaurants. It's, yeah.
It's a diet RC. What? You said you wanted a Coke. At 82, you get cornerback Darnay Holmes, UCLA.
Oh, Jeff doesn't like him.
I can see why.
I'm scared.
Oh, why are you scared?
I'm scared of Darnay
Holmes. Wait. Stop, Jeffrey. General, have you seen this guy play?
No, I just read the summary.
Okay, you read the summary?
I read his weaknesses.
Stop being book smart, General.
Well, that's all I got.
I'm going to pull up.
Show me how to watch film, Brian.
I got you, man.
Hold on. I'm trying to get to his notes.
I'm going to hand you a Coke here in a minute. A diet one at that.
If you want to watch Darnay Holmes, where did the notes go? Did they not get transferred to my database?
There's a game you hate, right? Didn't you get smoked by somebody? USC, Pittman.
I'm like, oh, look, they can run stops on him, slants on him, flies on him, posts on him. He got hit for like 2 touchdowns and 200 yards.
Did Ayuk at Arizona State get him?
No, it was a nobody. I forget which game it was. I can't find it right now, but he just got torched. And then I watched other games, and I'm like, okay, I see. He's a slot guy that can run.
There's a couple of, yeah.
That one game just sticks in my head where I'm like, that dude – got destroyed.
There are guys, the scouts you talk to, they say there's a couple of small corners, him and the Robertson kid.
Amik Robertson, I'd take all
Houston.
Day.
Yeah, those are the guys that everybody says, if you want tiny corners, Holmes and Robertson are the two guys that they're talking about.
So he lacks length and hasn't played the ball well. So it doesn't seem to be in line
Come
with
on, General, don't make him sound so bad.
Hadn't played the receiver well either.
Yeah, you know, gave up big plays, not a guy that's going to get his hand on the football. I'm thinking if I'm the Cowboys and we're trying to get turnovers and takeaways, it's about the exact opposite of description of the kind of guy I'm going for. But I will
People are really high on him, but I think it was the Utah game. Watch him play Utah where they lost 49-3. I think all 49 were on him.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I'll check those highlights here, and there's going to be more for you draft folks coming up at 4:20 with Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. It's coming up in just 15 minutes here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, I found this interesting article. Ted Wynn from The Athletic does a really nice job at doing deep dives into modern NFL issues and, hey, how's this team going to figure out that team? And for this individual article, it was, will teams figure out the Baltimore zone read? Lamar Jackson and the Ravens unleashed holy hell on the league over the last couple of seasons. What's going to happen moving forward? And while we're doing this, I think the topic has to be, as well as talking about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and they're going to become Kansas City's biggest nemesis. But how much should the Cowboys look at this? I'm not saying he can do what Lamar does, and I'm just saying it creates a nightmare for the opposition. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
No, I was gonna let you finish your point. I want to make sure Jeff saw me on that one, though. I'll say this, though, and I appreciate you letting me jump in here, General.
Sure.
Jerry Jones has already thought about it. There were meetings. There were those Monday meetings where Jerry was becoming enamored with what Baltimore was doing. That was the, well, hey, how do we do this? How do we, he was watching the Ravens play and he's saying, wow, look what they did against New England. They made New England's defense play slow. How do you take an aggressive defense and make them play slow? And that's what the Ravens were doing. And Jerry was taking notice of that in those Monday morning meetings.
Well, you know, I guess Lamar Jackson is a very unique player. But Colin Kaepernick did it at a very high level in 2012, 2011, 13, you know, with the same coordinator, Greg Roman. And he wasn't Michael Vick lightning blur fast. He was obviously faster than Dak Prescott. But I think the dynamics can still threaten the defense and force them to play slow or think too much.
Right.
Without having a Lamar Jackson type of player. And I think the opportunity to unleash the plan is only going to last as long as a lot of teams aren't doing it in the NFL. So maybe it's never going to take over the NFL and sweep through. Or maybe teams are going to say, hey, we've been talking about how can we spend less at quarterback. One of the downsides of running a zone read offense is that your quarterback could get hurt, or he's not going to be able to do it at a high level on the other side of 30. So draft the guy, get him playing. If he stays healthy, give him a second contract. And then guess what? There are lots of players in college who the NFL is deciding we can't. Oh, we can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. Just have a couple of them as your backup. You know, there are talented guys who are coming out every year now that could run this offense. So if you have a bad year and you're in the top 15, oh, there's another guy who could run and do the zone read. And if you're not in that situation, then there's plenty of guys available in day three of the draft that could step in and do that system. Anyway, he's talking about how it's been so good for years, but teams haven't really committed to it because they don't want to get their guy hurt. So teams in the NFL don't see it. That's probably one of the most important things about this discussion. Is in high school and college, the players and coaches see it, if not every week, every other week. So the players are conditioned with all sorts of different things in their tool belt as far as techniques, and the coaches are very good at observing the different ways that teams are doing this and trying different things. But at the NFL level, there's really only one or two quarterbacks so far that we've seen be good enough that's made an NFL team say, hell, it's worth the risk. Or, in the case of Ravens, Lamar's so quick, they can't hit him.
Yeah.
So
it's also a math problem, right? Yeah. Because most NFL offenses, you'll never have to account for the quarterback. You just don't have to, except for 3 to 5 plays a game when they trick you. If you have to do it constantly and you can find a guy that throws it well enough,
there you go.
He gets an advantage in coverage. You have one less guy in coverage on every single play.
There you go.
I
don't know. Anybody could do it. You could, yes, you could find a college running quarterback to do it, but to do it the way the Ravens do it is impossible because there's not another human on the planet that can do what Lamar Jackson can do.
Yeah.
See, Watson was at another level. Deshaun Watson, he was at another level running it. And then all of a sudden, Jackson comes along. So I think what you're going to see now is, where do the NFL get their talent from? Colleges. You know, I think you're going to see more defensive coordinators study colleges on how they're slowing down and stopping. Now you have to have athletes, and not every college has great athletes that can play the wide techniques and have the linebackers that can run. But if you do, like they do at Clemson, you can figure out ways to play. And that's, I think this is where the NFL is going. If we're going to continue to see quarterbacks come along that have this skill to run this offense because they're doing it for 3 and 4 years, then we're going to see all those defensive coordinators going into college football and saying, all right, how do you play this? How do you defend this? And that's how they're going to get their answer. So it's not going to be the college guys coming and learning from the NFL guys. It's going to be in reverse because of how to stop these players. Because more teams, I think, are going to try and do things with the running quarterback. Like just what you said, General, there's just too many of them. There's too many athletes. That's what we're starting to see in the game.
And maybe this is a small sample for it just being 1 year, but maybe we're getting to a point where there's more quarterbacks. There's a surplus of quarterbacks, and you could get a little bit more risky if more guys are coming into college and can play at a decent level. But the scheme's so powerful, it made RG3 an MVP candidate and took Washington to the top of the division. And then he was like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. It's too risky. And he became a journeyman-level quarterback.
Yeah, but too frail. Too frail. You have to be able to physically handle the abuse. And not to say that, but the thing with Jackson that makes him different is how loose he is as a player. He's not going to take big hits because of his ability to contort and avoid those big hits, which makes him different from other quarterbacks we've seen.
He goes through about a half dozen different things teams are trying to do, and I forget some of them, but Ted Wynn in The Athletic, as far as what college and high school coaches are doing against the read option, the zone read, and you know, one of them is called this feathering technique, which is probably
right.
what they were talking about with the Patriots, where you kind of slow down and you're like, okay, which way are you going? Which way are you
right.
going? Another
tickle,
one's
tickle,
just
tickle.
To crash the mesh point. Just run as hard as you can at the point where the quarterback may or may not be handing it to the running back and look to raise hell when you get there.
Well, in Lamar's case, he'll be gone when you get there.
Yeah,
if you're
right.
running in from the edge towards the quarterback and running back mesh point, you will be 7 yards behind him when he pulls it.
It creates a lot of problems with when you have a player that talented. But to hear some of the amateur coaches talk about it, they're like, you just don't know what's going to work. So you have to have players who are trained at multiple techniques and coaches that know when to recognize which one do we need with this blocking scheme against what our defense is able to do. So you got to go through, and then obviously when you have a player as talented as Kaepernick and Lamar, sometimes that still isn't enough.
You have to have defensive ends that have the ability to confuse or create doubt in the quarterback. You have to make him at the mesh point make the decision that, oh, I've got to ride this. I've got to let it go. And then it's the bad decision. Like you said, General, crash that mesh point, cause problems there. Okay, they're crashing. Now we play wide feather. Now you're creating doubt. That's what you got to make them play slow on their side of the ball and not let them read it cleanly.
And then, you know, the talent comes into it, and there's quite a bit of a section here in this article about things defensive linemen can do to try to even the odds back up in their favor so there's not extra gaps happening. And, it's that two-gapping thing that you and Jeff have been telling us
right.
about where, I mean, you have to be a strong son of a bee to be able to get your hands on an offensive lineman and look around both sides and be
there
in control
go.
Enough to get off of them.
Yeah.
That just seems like something that less than 10% of defensive linemen are even qualified to do physically.
Yeah, those heavy five techniques. Epinesa from Iowa, that guy that could go in, it's 289 pounds, could go in, and like you said, General, grab, snatch that blocker, look inside, look outside, though, and make that read difficult, though. Those base ends are tough to deal with if they could hold the point of attack on that read option stuff.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, I want to see a team go for it. I want to see the Cowboys go for it. You know, once you get Dak paid, now you're going to be like, dude, here's $110 million. We didn't want to risk you getting hurt, and we took care of you in the first 4 years. Now you've been paid. Now, can we take a look at this for a year? What would it look like if we decided maybe you're going to run the ball twice a quarter? Maybe once every other series that you come out, the team's going to have to be going, hey, is Dak running this time around? And what happens to our win probability? If it doesn't make us run away with the league or you get hurt, we'll reevaluate. But now that you have all the guaranteed money, hell, if you get hurt this year, you can rehabilitate, come back next year, and still have 3 more years to prove you got a new contract coming to you.
So we want
to acknowledge the long-term injury risk and take care of you, but this is too good of an opportunity for us to turn down.
This is why you look at a guy like Hurts at Oklahoma. Could he be that guy that in that fourth round, third round, that you're saying, oh, he could maybe be a difference maker running this style of offense if you want to go that route?
All righty. Thank you, gentlemen. Interesting conversation indeed. It is time now. Look at this for Jeff and Brian's draft segment of the day. And, gentlemen, where are we going this time?
So Todd McShay put out his tiers of NFL draft prospects, and I'll show you exactly why I keep getting gravitated towards Team 40 Burger. It's next.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are back again, my friends. And this segment is brought to you by our buddy Mark Rubin over there at 1-800-LAWYERS. If you are drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally. He'll take control of your debt. He'll eliminate your stress and allow you to live life again. It all starts with a simple and confidential phone call to Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS, Rubin and Associates there at 1-800-LAWYERS. And here they are with the draft segment of the day, Jeff and Brian.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
That's Gavin. So today I was looking at, and I think this is a fun exercise because the Cowboys pick at number 17 overall, and you're trying to find the best player that you can to pick at number 17. And I like when people do things this way. Todd McShay broke down the draft prospects in tiers from number one to number 100 for his top 100 prospects. And so I wanted to go through this and talk about what does this mean for the Cowboys? Which tier might you be picking from? And how do you feel about that? So his tier number one, the title says a lot. It's tier one, young, all alone. So Chase Young is the top tier, the Ohio State defensive end. Is his top
group.
Tier. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't take long
exclusive.
To call the roll there. Yeah.
What's that?
Doesn't take long to call the roll.
Yeah. Chase, you here? All right. Tier All right. one's here. Tier two. And, Brian, we can kick around if we think any of these we would disagree with. And but I do want to go through each one just to see what is the likelihood that you're getting a player from each tier. So, for him, tier two has 10 guys in it.
Okay.
Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, Derek Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn, Jerry Jeudy, Alabama receiver, Jeff Okuda, Ohio State corner, Isaiah Simmons, the Clemson linebacker, Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama quarterback, Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle Iowa.
There you go.
CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, Oklahoma, Mekhi Becton, offensive tackle, Louisville, and Henry Ruggs III, wide receiver, Alabama.
Well, I like
so,
this.
So, what's that?
I like this.
Good-looking group
so,
there.
Yeah.
So, but when I look at that tier, this is why I keep getting drawn to Team 40 Burger, because our list would probably be a little bit different than his when you make the tiers, but
yeah. –
One thing that I do agree with is that in the top tier of prospects, there are three wide receivers. Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb. So when we keep talking about, okay, the Cowboys pick 17th, what's happened so far in the draft? Which guys are you hoping fall to your draft spot? And we kick around all these different names. A lot of the names that people are like, oh, well, you need a defensive end. Oh, you need a defensive tackle. Oh, you need a safety. I want Grant Delpit and Xavier McKinney, and I want all these guys. I just want to make sure people realize I don't ever want to leave a tier of player to go down a tier because you feel like you need something at a position. You're going to look back on that and feel like you made a giant mistake. So if one of those three guys makes it, Brian, that's why I keep being drawn to Team 40 Burger, because if there's any way one of those guys make it, you feel like you're getting a top 12 player at 17.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right about that, Jeff. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, are there more tier one guys, though? You know, I'm looking, and I'm thinking about, you know, we talked about the Derek Browns. We talked about Simmons. You know, I marked down Okuda. You know, depending on what you think about with Burrow and Tua and stuff like that, the quarterbacks are always going to be that, you know, that's a debatable thing. But I
like this. I like where your head's at. Here's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Todd McShay. We are now going to scrap everything you've done.
Okay.
Brian, according to us, tier one in this NFL draft has how many players in it? Obviously, we're going to put Chase Young, as he did, in tier one. No doubt about it. Next guy for you?
I would put Okuda myself in that area.
Okay, and I'm not going to debate you. This isn't going to be in
oh,
perfect
no, I'm just,
order.
I'm just
going to agree on the
play. No, it's just in the tier. Whatever
right.
order you want to put him in, I'm just trying to get him into the tier.
Okay. Jeff Okuda is in tier one. Now, I would say that Isaiah Simmons, Clemson
okay.
linebacker,
absolutely.
Is tier one.
Absolutely. And then the last guy I had, Jeff, was I had Derek Brown in that list is
okay.
who I had.
And we're going. Are you going to – do you want to do this with or without quarterbacks?
Let's do it without quarterbacks because
okay.
they're always going to put those guys at you got to have quarterbacks. Let's just do the guys that the positional players. If we
okay,
could.
So you know that Burrow and Tua and Herbert and Love are probably going in the first round. They're going to exist
yeah.
in their own space. Outside of quarterback, tier one: Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, Derek Brown, and to me, I say end of tier one.
Okay. See, now, can all right, you're my wide receiver whisperer. Does Lamb do anything for you as that one wide receiver better than Judy? Or, I mean, is there one receiver that you consider that guy?
I think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy are my two favorite. CeeDee Lamb is my top receiver. Here's where it gets tough. I could put both of them in tier one. Yeah. I could put CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy in tier one.
Right.
Would you be comfortable with that?
I think I would put, and I've got a both, because I've got a separation on my board. I've got Lamb, Jeudy, and then I've got a space between them that tells me that those are the guys I see in the top of the round. Higgins and Ruggs are my guys I see in the second half of the round, you know, of the first round. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So there's a space. Then let's do it.
It's like I got Wirfs, Wills, Becton, and then Thomas, Jackson, but I got the split with those tackles. I think they're all first-round guys, but okay. I'd say top half of the first round, bottom half of the first round.
This is good. I like this exercise because what we're doing is we're going to show people the player that whenever you see a mock draft of who the Cowboys are getting, this is why if it says CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, I do backflips.
Right.
Because that's our tier one.
Right.
It has six players in it that don't play quarterback, and if you can get one of those, holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay. Tier two. I'm going to have to get my draft board pulled up to get tier two going. So,
I still had some thoughts about,
you know, about tier one?
Wirfs to me, I love Wirfs, the Iowa tackle. I just do. I've called him Walter Jones, is who I've called him. I mean, if you're familiar with Walter Jones, in general, I'll tell you, He always held out for the Seahawks. He'd come in and he'd make all pro, not having any training camp. I'm just talking about athletic ability, staying on his feet, playing with power, all those things that Walter Jones was really, really good at. I see that in Wirfs, but I'll keep him in tier two. I'll keep him there.
Walter Jones later in his career also sat out of camp just to keep the stress off of his back.
No question. No question.
Beast. Yeah. He just laid around on the couch and showed up and was the best tackle.
Amazing player. Yes.
Okay, so we'll go to tier two. I now have my board pulled up so that I can do this appropriately.
Yeah.
Tristan Wirfs.
Okay.
Offensive tackle, Iowa.
Yep.
Brian wants to throw out there. Can I put Javon Kinlaw safely in tier two?
Absolutely, you can.
Okay, defensive tackle from South Carolina in tier two. Can I safely put Henry Ruggs here?
Oh, you absolutely can, yes.
Okay. Can I put C.J. Henderson here?
You absolutely can.
Florida corner, C.J. Henderson is in tier two. And boom, 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 I'm going across my board. What offensive tackles do you want to put in here?
Well, this is where you get down to where I'm looking at Andrew Thomas is who I'm looking at. I'm also starting to think about linebackers here.
Okay, Murray or Queen?
I've got both. If you had to tell me, Brian, you could take one over the other, I would take Murray over Queen.
Man, you're tough on your LSU guys, Brian.
Well, we've got like 12 of them in this draft. I mean, eventually one of them is going to, you know, I mean, they're going to be fine. But I would take Murray, Oklahoma, over Queen, LSU.
Okay, so Murray and Queen. Anybody else in tier two? Do you want to start putting offensive tackles? Jedrick Wills, Mekhi Becton?
Oh, they were already – I'm sorry. I thought they were already in that. We're talking about our own. Okay. Yeah, you could put Becton in there for sure. Wills could go in there too. Absolutely.
Andrew Thomas
could go in there. Jackson?
Jackson's
probably more the bottom, more of a tier three guy in my book. I would have him in tier three.
To me, that would be the end of tier two.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is there anybody else you want to make a case
for? We didn't have Chase on?
I would not.
Okay. Blacklock, defensive tackle from TCU, nothing there?
Do you believe that Ross Blacklock belongs in the same tier as Javon Kinlaw?
I think if you talk to people around the league, they will tell you, and this is where I had him in that point, Brown, Kinlaw, Blacklock were the three guys. I know you have Matabike from Texas A&M up there pretty high. I have Blacklock, but I that's just for another day. That's me for another day.
Do you have Blacklock as a first round player?
I
want tier two to be all first rounders.
He is
not one twos.
He's at the bottom of the first round for me, is what he is.
To me, that's the top of tier three. Let me put it this
way. That's fine.
Let me ask it this way. No, I love this. Cowboys take Ross Blacklock at 17. Are you happy?
I you know what? I would not have a problem with that.
Really?
Mm-mm. I wouldn't. But then again, that's the names I've got. I've got Chason, I've got Blacklock, I've got Queen, I've got Murray, I've got Henderson. That's how I've got those guys. That's how I've got my defensive board set. All those guys in the second half of the first round is how I look at that. You don't have to agree with me. I mean, I'm just saying that's how I have my board set that way.
So now tier three, I think if we started actually trying to put this together, to me, tier three is going to be basically second rounders. And I think our list is going to have 30 guys on it.
Oh, there's no question. But then,
right?
then
30 you have, or 40
then,
guys.
But then you
it.
Have to start with the guys like we were talking about. Jackson the tackle from, in my opinion, Jackson the tackle from USC, Higgins from Clemson. I've also got Diggs, Fulton, Delpit. Is that kind of where you're at, or is that
100%? And I think that's the reason that I think this is an awesome exercise, is because tier three is going to have a ton of guys like you just named. For me, Jalen Reagor and Denzel Mims and Justin Matabike and Christian Fulton, the LSU corner, and Jeff Gladney and Damon Arnett, the Ohio State corner, and Javon Diggs and AJ Terrell, and we could literally put
Braun
30 guys
from Wisconsin,
in it.
Yeah.
So what we've done is, I believe, we have isolated where you want to be picking from at 17, and if you don't have the right any of these names on the board, bail. I think we have just created the blueprint of pick one of these guys or bail.
Right.
Tier one. Chase Young you won't be able to have.
Right.
Okudah you won't be able to have. Simmons you won't be able to have. Derrick Brown you won't be able to have. But if CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy made it to number 17, you're picking at tier one at number 17, and it's a dream come true.
Right.
At tier two, you're probably not picking an offensive lineman, but the names Javon Kinlaw, Henry Ruggs, C.J. Henderson, if you would consider a linebacker, Murray or Queen.
Right.
And that's it, outside of the offensive tackles that we put into that group. So if you could get Kinlaw, Ruggs, Henderson, Murray, Queen, then you would look at that pick and say, we picked out of tier two. Nice pick.
Right.
Anything outside of that, our tier is so massive. There's so many people in it that I would say, Captain Trade Down rides, baby. Get out of there and accumulate picks, because we can get multiple guys that exist in the same tier instead of just pigeonholing and pulling one out of a block of 30 or 40 players.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good exercise. I think we got this thing on tiered on up here.
Yeah.
There's your group where if one of those two makes it, you do backflips. Here's your group where if one of them makes it, you go, sweet, good pick. And then there's that next group where you say, go, 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 ripcord, Captain Trade Down rides, baby. So I think that's a fun exercise.
Yeah, I think that where you could get some really good value, and we've talked about this, is either at that wide receiver spot or at the cornerback spot. That's where if you have to bail, if you can't trade out of, say you get down there and you want to trade again and you get stuck, I think you're still picking a really good player. I mean, whether it be a wide receiver or one of those cornerbacks, it could very well be a linebacker. It could be one of these, it could be the defensive end though too. I mean, just depending on, where this thing all shakes out.
That's all right. Captain, great conversation.
Brian's segment.
Yep.
You good? Okay. Man, that was exceptional, gentlemen. And I feel like tiers is becoming one of the new in vogue ways of looking at the draft. And I think it's perfect for the audience because it does kind of simplify things, but in a very powerful way. Weren't you saying that the biggest mistakes you can identify year in and year out is when you get out of a tier, and head down to reach for need?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So Well, I think that's something really interesting to keep an eye on, especially because the Cowboys are there at 17, where the tiers can kind of transition from one to the other, right?
Or absolutely,
you're really starting to exit the window of, you know, some of the surefire first round picks when you're sitting there at 17. Okay, when we come back, it's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Get you some of the top stories from pro football, including the NFL legend who is now battling coronavirus. It's next in the nation. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time to go around the NFL. It's brought to you by Windstar World Casino and Resort. Somebody want first down? I'm back to pass. I'm scanning left and right. Here's Jeff Kavanaugh. He wants the ball.
I was reading Football Morning in America this morning on how the NFL draft might look, according to Peter King, who he's pretty good at this, right? Gathering information.
Oh, he's really good, yeah.
From important people. And he says he was told that Roger Goodell could be kicking off the 2020 NFL draft from a remote control camera in his house in Bronxville, New York. but they do say, he said, a source with the knowledge of draft I cannot talk in around the
logistics.
NFL.
I'm usually the one that can't talk. Yeah.
Logistics.
Logistics. They said that would be a worst case scenario to them. And Peter King makes the point that I agree with. He said, that sounds like a best case scenario to me. Like, what better way to send the message about what people should be doing right now than tricking this up as little as possible? I know you want entertainment value, but I don't need Roger Goodell at a podium in some public place and trying to have any people there. I think the ideal way to do this and to send the right message to people would be literally Roger Goodell on his couch. Your coverage is done, like we're doing our radio show right now on 1053thefan.com/fancam, where if it's NFL Network, it's Daniel Jeremiah and Rich Eisen and whoever, and they do it just like this. And if the players want to have a laptop in their home for when they get drafted so that you can interview them, you have it set up just like that. I don't know why you would feel the need to do anything more than that. Do you guys think it would affect interest greatly if the show was done like we're doing our show right now?
No, not at all. I think the content is really the most important thing. And I think everybody, I've talked about this, what I believe the draft does, it sells hope. And in a nation, in a world right now where we're just looking for hope, you know, that I think that if you see your team, and we've talked about these kids, heck, we just had a great segment talking about tiers of guys. And like, oh, can we pick a tier one guy, a tier two guy? You know, that's what we want to do. We want to be able to see our teams get better. We want to give us some hope that when we get out of the woods here, that we'll be able to have our team and enjoy our team and the players that they got. So I don't think it would change at all.
I think the draft is best if you got everybody there. And in the world of TV, where this is an operation that's well into the tens and tens of millions of dollars, you have no problem justifying paying for everybody to be there. But, you know, as long as there's not really bad satellite delays, that always annoys me. Like when there's a really bad delay when we have crosstalk or something, and the engineers here at the Fan and at Intercom have done a fantastic job here during the pandemic of making sure we're not dealing with anything more than absolute minimum. But if you start getting into that and, like, anchors are having to wait 7 seconds or even 3 seconds to get an answer, I think it can start to have an impact on the overall enjoyability of the telecast. But for the most part, you're going to get everybody in there. And a month from now, everybody is going to be well-conditioned to be watching this sort of broadcasting or corona casting,
absolutely,
as I call it sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting part in here is that's the draft part of it. But Peter King also talked about the scouting part of it. And he talked to John Lynch. And John Lynch had a really interesting perspective where he said he wanted to channel his inner Tony Dungy, who used to tell his Bucks players, no excuses, no explanations, get the job done. And so he says, you know, everybody's got problems right now. Ours are small, really, so we'll solve them. People have a lot bigger problems than we do, I can tell you that. This year's a lot different than any year scouts and GMs have had with all our challenges. But this time of year, what you really need is time. The other day, my coach, Kyle Shanahan, called and said, this is unbelievable. I'm getting so much done. And he's right. He and I this time of year would be watching this tape in our offices. And the difference is our doors aren't getting knocked on 50 times a day. I'm really getting a lot done. So from a scouting perspective, there's obviously parts of it you can't do. but you certainly lose a lot of distractions if you're trying to watch tape. And obviously the part of this that is the biggest problem is for the draft prospects themselves. And the one he references is Cal safety Ashton Davis, who's likely a second-round pick, I would think. He couldn't work out at the combine because he had groin surgery.
Right.
And they say he was getting ready to run a sub-4.4 at his pro day, then impress teams in personal meetings. Pro days were canceled by the NFL. Scouts couldn't work out prospects. Players couldn't visit teams. Strike one, strike two, strike three. So he'll keep working out and hopefully be able to FaceTime with teams and everything. But what I don't get is the talk about how you can't get times. If you tell me you were about to run a sub-4.4, I saw the corner from I forget where. He just posted the video of his 40. And we have the technology. You can
GPS,
literally,
right?
I mean, on your computer,
yeah.
You can. I've seen guys do this on Twitter. I don't know how to do it. But you could put it into a video player,
yeah.
And you could get him down to a thousandth of a second off of his own tweet. You could watch and see how quick he ran a 40-yard dash. You could set up and run a shuttle. You could figure these things out. So we're going to figure this out. But, and we're going to apparently have a draft on time, and hopefully they can figure out everything they need to do it the best way possible.
Jeff, I'm going to throw a wrench in your plan there, my friend.
Uh-oh.
First thing that scouts do when they get to a workout facility is actually measure the 40-yard dash.
Make sure their yard lines aren't wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first thing you do is you will have three scouts. One holds the tape.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One holds the tape. They drag it. They all carry tape. They all carry tape long enough to measure. And every pro day I've ever been to, that is the first thing that they do is measure the accuracy of the 40-yard dash.
Why wouldn't the player and trainer just literally break out a tape on camera and be like,
"Oh, I know.
Here's the 10.
You're
measure
right.
It.
You're right.
Show it.
You're right.
Like, that's 40.
But they won't do that. They'll just assume that okay, if we start here and finish here, that's 40 yards. And then you'll have the old crusty skeptical scout that'll go, "That doesn't look like 40 yards to me." You know, kind of a thing.
I read that article too. I saw where some teams are saying, let's get the GPS times
right.
On how fast guys are moving inside the game.
Right.
And then we can match that up to other players that run the same speed in the game to their 40 time. I think, you know, based on that piece and what John Lynch was saying, there is a huge opportunity for NFL teams that are prepared to adapt and overcome more and better, that aren't stuck in this is how we process our draft. If you're thinking, guys, we need to get answers and not, it's not time to complain. It's time to say, hey, go get the job done. It's those people that are going to say, dude, I got 18 hours a day to figure this stuff out. I can call people. I can work on computer programs. And the teams that complain the least and put their nose to the grindstone the most are the ones that are going to have the best chance of succeeding in this draft.
Yeah, this is where Brian Broaddus would channel his inner Houston Astros and figure out how to go time players secretly. This there is what go. I would do. Gil Brandt ran a kid in an airport terminal one time. I would figure something out to try and get my times.
I dare you. I dare you to find
I gotta
out.
I got to do like, Golden Radio from 2 to 7 every day.
And how'd you find out about it? What, were you out during the corona?
Where was
exactly. You know, that's what I'd say.
Yeah,
you want to come after me for clocking players during corona?
Yeah.
How'd you find out about it?
Why does my board have all the measurables right on it and yours doesn't, you know? I'm not going to tell you that, Ernie Adams.
We have an update on an NFL legend here for you. Former kicker Tom Dempsey made a 63-yarder back in the day, 1970, win a game over the Lions with the Saints. It's a fantastic story. That record held till 2013 when Matt Prater beat it up there in the Mile High by 1 yard.
1 yard.
He was born without toes on his foot, so it looked like he had half a foot, and he could kick the hell out of the ball. Well, he was among the residents at the Lambeth House in downtown New Orleans, which is their ground zero for coronavirus. It's an assisted living center. More than 50 people have been infected and tested positive with coronavirus, and several have passed away. It's one of the main reasons that New Orleans is one of the new hotspots. Well, he was there already with Alzheimer's and dementia, was Tom Dempsey, and now he's got coronavirus. His daughter, Ashley, says he's fighting. He's doing great, and they chat every day. And I found some interesting stuff about Tom Dempsey and about his life while reading through the story. After he made that kick in 1970, the Saints fans loved him so much. Wherever he went, it was a party. They just wanted to thank him.
Right.
So he partied the entire offseason. You know, once January started and he started going to lunch, dinner, anywhere he went, all food and drinks were on the house, and he took advantage of that. So he got so out of shape, he shows up for the 1971 training camp and couldn't get himself back into anywhere approaching shape to kick a football. He was one of his first eight in preseason. They're like, Tom, yeah, you're a hero, but damn it, you got to go. So he did go and got on a diet very quickly and got out of New Orleans, where he was treated like a king and the world was his oyster, and was put back into a spot where he could get back in shape, and he ended up playing for another 9 years. But multiple people now connected to the Saints have been impacted. You got Sean Payton. Yeah, Bobby Hebert's father,
yeah,
who passed away over the weekend from the corona, and he was 81 years old. And now Tom Dempsey, who is in his 70s. Probably the first famous kicker that I can remember. Maybe there were other guys.
Well, there was Garo Yeprimian, if you remember, like, back in the day, like, you know, if the Super Bowl where he had the miss, and then he, like, the ball goes in the air, and he grabs it, and he tries to throw it, and it was a game against the Redskins, the 14-7. But, yeah, there were some pretty famous kickers back in the day, but none like Tom Dempsey. Alex Karras talks about, for the Lions back in the day, says, I had a chance to block the field goal, and I didn't even think he was going to make it. So I, like, let up on the play. And, like, yeah, here is a guy who makes a 63-yard field goal to beat us. I didn't think he was going to have a chance. And, yeah, he, like, blames himself for that from back in the day.
Hitting bombs.
Hitting bombs, for sure.
It's amazing. Sometimes we don't imagine something as possible, and then Jordan plays like it, and everybody instantly starts trying to copy Jordan, where he hit a 63-yarder, and for four decades people were like, oh, you can't kick it over 52 yards.
Right.
Don't even try it.
Don't even try.
You have to have a half a foot to be able to pull something like
and
that.
And he had a deformity in his arm too, his hand. He was, yeah, had a stub hand too. So he overcame a lot to play in the National Football League.
Very unique. Here is Brian Broaddus with third down.
Yeah, thank you very much, General. How about this? Free agent safety Eric Reed is challenging the recent approved collective bargaining agreement.
Okay.
He's come
That's
out.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's come out and he has said, he's arguing that the finalized version isn't the same document that the players approved.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Reed is saying, he announced his challenge on Twitter Monday. He said he posted a letter that he sent along with his attorneys to the Players Association and its executive director, Morris Smith. And Reed is demanding an investigation and a revote while retaining the same legal counsel that advised him in his collusion agreements against the National Football League. You know, he was part of the thing with Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's not he's talking about in the letter, he's saying, hey, you know, they're putting the language that the CBA that was circulated before the players' vote is different from language seen in the final version of the CBA on March 15th after the NFL Players Association approved it. So the language difference part he's talking about refers to the benefits for retired players. So he's going on a technicality here, it sounds like.
It sounds like he's got a good case, but the last time the NFL Players Association brought up something legal, it was right before they were going to vote on it, right? The NFLPA, somebody said, hey, we can't vote on this because it really didn't even pass the way it was supposed to.
Right.
And essentially the NFLPA said, well, we had the right to call it good however we wanted it. So I don't know what to think, you know, because so often NFL players have a real valid case, but then when it's heard in the court of law, somebody says, well, yeah, but look at this stipulation here in this line. It says it doesn't matter if it's wrong because this is the NFL and they have the right to say too bad.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm expecting, right?
No, absolutely. Like, this
sounds juicy. I'm cheering for Eric Reed. I'm just used to players with a very valid reason being told too bad. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
Get over it.
And this is also a tie-in to a member, Russell Okung. He announced he filed a complaint, too, against the National Labor Relations Board, charging that Smith violated the Constitution during the CBA talks. So lots still going on here.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for picking me up there, Brian. I knew there was something from that week. Okay, top stories of the day. Two very important things to know about the Dak Prescott negotiation and how it's shifting and getting more complicated as the offseason lingers on. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.